The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
So he was a war hero. He was the 41st president of the United States. And now he can add this to his resume. He is a rear patter. George H.W. Bush is now under attack for patting a woman's behind in 2014. Now, I, for one, can't believe I just said that sentence, but I did. Welcome to America, 2017. Yesterday, the actress Heather Lind accused H.W. Bush of patting her on the rear and making a joke. Quote, I got the chance to meet George H.W. Bush 4 years ago to promote a historic television show I was working on. He sexually assaulted me. He sexually assaulted me while I was posing for a similar photo. He didn't shake my hand. He touched me from behind from his wheelchair with his wife Barbara Bush right by his side. He then told me a dirty joke. And then, all the while being photographed, he touched me again. Barbara rolled her eyes as if to say, not again. Now, lock the kids up. I know we're talking about sexual assault here, but here's the dirty joke. Do you know who my favorite magician is? David Copperfield. Wow. Terrible joke. For many reasons, one of which David Copperfield is not even relevant anymore. It shows you how old he is. Bush was forced to issue a statement from his office on the matter that reads, at the age of 93, President Bush has been confined to a wheelchair for 5 years. His arms fall on the lower waist of people with whom he takes pictures. To try to put people at ease, he routinely tells the same joke, and on occasion, he has patted women's rear ends in what he intended to be a good-natured manner. Some have seen this as innocent. Others clearly view this as inappropriate. To anyone he has offended, President Bush apologizes sincerely. Okay. The guy's 93. Have you seen him lately? It's not like he's out at night working the clubs. Even if he was interested in sex, it ain't happening, baby. Bush is not a sexual predator. That was not a sexual assault. You cannot put George H.W. Bush, 41, with the likes of Harvey Weinstein. It's like apples, comparing them to bananas. Where have we heard that? I'm sure no one would do that. They would never call a banana an apple, would they? Of course not, because they're clearly not the same.
Thursday, October 26th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I don't think I could take it anymore. I really don't. I don't think I can take it anymore. He's 93 years old. Do you think that, I mean, he's reaching up from his wheelchair. That's where his arms are going to rest, at a woman's hips. So, okay, so maybe he shouldn't put his arm around you and your hip and pat you? I mean, are you really that? Is that really what you think? You walked out of there going, he was copping a feel. He's 93.
Well, he was only 90 at the time. So, he was spry.
I mean, you have to have some common sense and some common decency. The guy is, to think he is a sexual, what was he using his power? He was using his power over you, really? You were afraid you were going to be trapped? His wife is there. I know Barbara Bush. She would knock him in the head if he did anything inappropriate. He says the same joke to make everybody feel comfortable, and you laugh at this stupid joke, and you're like, that's a really bad joke. I mean, I'm a hugger. I hug everybody that comes into my office, and sometimes people leave, and usually guys, and they're like, okay, I can't believe I just hugged him. I'm not a hugger. I'm a hugger.
You rethinking that, honestly?
Nope.
You're not?
Nope.
Would
nope,
you?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Would I what?
Would you reconsider?
No, I would not. No, I would not. Nope.
No, because, I mean, it's that world right now, no?
I don't care.
I mean, we have... We talked yesterday about another director who's, you know, being
Here's the difference.
Mark Halperin today.
Okay, all right. Here's the difference. Do you know what happened with Mark Halperin? Have you read the accounts?
I did, although he denies them. We should point that out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and he's already been fired.
Yep.
He's already been fired. He's out. Now, if he did these things, he should be out. But did he do these things? Witch hunt. We should get the Crucible out. We should start reading the Crucible. Will they allow your kids to read the Crucible in school anymore? Because I know we used to have to. We used to have to read the Crucible every single year. We read the stupid Crucible. Why? Because it was to show us you don't go after communists. I'll tell you that right now. That's what that whole thing was about. It was about the witch hunt in Salem, but it was written as a warning to society during the communist trials of the 1950s. And man, we had to learn that in school. At the height of the Cold War, we had to learn, don't just go on accusations. Don't you dare do that. It'll be like the Salem witch trials. What the hell are we doing?
And again, that's not to say that any of these specific accusations are part of a witch hunt by any means. We don't know. Right?
I don't know. But I don't know Mark Halperin at all.
No, he's been on the show a couple times, right?
I don't know.
I think he has been. But again, it's just that is it doesn't matter. These claims could be very well true.
But it's just like.
We assume they're true just by the accusations being leveled, and that is not a healthy place for society to be.
Okay, let me just say this. In case you don't know what Halperin is accused of, two women, and they have some credibility, I guess, because they also have witnesses from the time. That say, I remember she came out of his office and she told me and she was very upset about it. And it's consistent with what she told me at the time. Now, that could mean there's, you know, four people in collusion. I don't know. But what Halperin was accused of was a woman walking in to his office. He grabbed her breasts. He forcefully kissed her. Without an invitation and without consent, and then kicked her out of the office. Another time, he walked up to a woman and pressed his,
the technical term junk. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes, and it was in full standing and pressed his junk against her. On her shoulder because she was sitting down, and I don't even know how he, what did he do? Mount the chair? She felt very uncomfortable. I guess he groped her and then she left. Okay. That's not the same. That's not the same as what happened with George H.W. Bush. And women, if you're going to start to say that that is sexual assault, you are going to destroy any credibility anyone has on actual sexual assault. Words mean nothing anymore. Rapist. Racist. It doesn't mean anything anymore. Nobody believes any kind of you're a racist. We have actual Nazis in the streets. And people compare other people to Nazis all the time. I have done it myself. It is a mistake. It's a mistake. If you don't stop just using these terms for everything, nothing will have any meaning whatsoever.
And look, you know, a lot of this has to do with the surrounding circumstances. It would not be appropriate for a 35-year-old guy to start grabbing somebody's butt or patting a butt. It's not a, I mean, it's probably not appropriate for Bush to be doing it either, obviously. But I mean, sexual assault is something
else.
Can
I tell you something? If I am in a wheelchair,
I mean, he apologized for it, right?
I know, but I know that because he's a decent guy. George H.W. Bush is a decent man.
Yeah.
If I'm in a wheelchair and I'm Glenn Beck and I'm a hugger and I'm a guy who I hug you and I'm not a serial groper or anything.
Right.
So if I'm in a wheelchair and I'm going to take a picture, it is normal to put your arms around people. So have you seen a picture of him? He looks so uncomfortable and so awkward in that wheelchair. He's trying to appear normal. And so he puts his arms around people's hips.
Yeah, and this is, you're right, it's a joke to
make them feel comfortable.
Right, exactly. And look, again though, if you put that in another person, it may be unacceptable, right? But again, it all is about these circumstances. There's a picture that Ellen DeGeneres posted.
Oh my gosh.
Of her with Katy Perry. It was Katy Perry's birthday. And the picture is Ellen DeGeneres standing next to Katy Perry, who, as is normal practice, wearing almost nothing from her belly button to her head, but is a very low cut dress, and she has she's ample.
You can see everything but the nipple,
pretty much.
Yes,
and Ellen is leaning over with her face approximately 4 inches from her boobs. And says, hey, happy birthday, Katie. Time to bring out the big balloons. Now, Ellen is a woman who is attracted to other women, too, to add to this. So it's not just... And is that
sexual
in
assault?
In the era of sexual assault in Hollywood, is that what that is? Obviously not.
Okay, but why? But why?
Exactly.
If that was a man doing that, it would be horrible.
Yep.
Okay, so it's another woman, but she is attracted to other women.
Right.
So what is the difference? What is the difference?
And that is, I think, where you have where the witch hunt comes in.
Yes.
If people are actually sexually assaulting people, and we've said many times.
We want it to stop.
We want it to stop. We want them to go to prison. We want them to pay huge penalties for that.
Yes.
Above and beyond that, however, there has to be a standard above a few people say it in an article. You can't just have random people saying that, making claims with no evidence and act as if that should make a person lose their job or go away forever. Yes, if they did it, we want that to happen. But there has to be due process. It can't just be we have a few people saying something happened to me multiple years ago, and we all just jump on the bandwagon and say that person's a dirtbag. They may be a dirtbag, but there has to be due process to get to that point. And right now, we are the witch hunt part of this. Some of them may have been witches. Like, I don't know.
None of them were witches.
You got to do more than seeing if they float.
It's a really good point, Stu. We start throwing people who have been accused of being a sexual predator. We throw George Bush, strap him to his wheelchair, and throw him into a lake. If he floats, we know he's a sexual predator. If he doesn't float, he's innocent.
It's not a good way to operate a legal system.
You don't think?
No.
Nothing is more essential than protecting your home, but traditional home security can be punishing and very expensive. There is a better way. Protect your home with SimpliSafe. If you ask anybody who's locked in a long-term security contract, they're on the hook for 3 years. you know, if you've ever installed a security system, they come in with the little booties and they drill into your house and they wire everything. And that is a fortune, let alone, not to mention, it's all hardwired. Simply, hello, 1965. Simply Safe is a totally wireless system. Yes, I remember when we got the wireless remote control. Now other things can be wireless, like your phone and your computer. Yes, and your security system at home. It's crazy. There's also no long-term contracts. Your home is protected around the clock. No hidden fees. $15 a month. That's three times less than what the other guys are charging. Go to simplysafebeck.com. Get a special 10% discount if you go to simplysafebeck.com. Now, if you want your security system, you know, by tonight, you can just stop by your local Best Buy. They have it. But you will have it protected by tonight, or you can wait and order it online at simplysafebeck.com and save yourself 10%. It's simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
We have so many things to do. I don't know if you saw the TV show last night, but we did something on Fusion GPS that if you don't know what's really happening on this, boy, we broke it down in like 10 minutes on the chalkboard. It was really funny and really good way for you to understand it. Showed you all the connections, showed you how crazy this thing is, and you will understand it in the end. You can find it at theblaze.com or glennbeck.com. If you're a subscriber, make sure you're watching the 5 o'clock show. We're breaking down the two biggest stories of the day in a way that you can understand them and they make sense. And next week we begin with a series of chalkboards. And next week's series is What is Socialism? And we're gonna teach this in bite-sized pieces over 4 days. So you and your kids can watch it, and every night you can walk away and have a conversation on, okay, so what does that mean? What is socialism? And I urge you, do your own homework. After the show, get your kids and get online. Check that out. Show them how to look for truth.
There's a lot in there, too, that I, you know, how many times have we talked about socialism on the show? 50,000? I mean,
yeah.
But there was a lot in there that I had never heard before. Really interesting, like parts of this, that whole story that go even before Marx, some of it.
Oh, yeah.
And
socialism is in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's just not called it, but it's in the Bible.
Well, I mean, sort of.
In a bad way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing.
But if you go to, you look at this, and there's a whole week of this stuff, and it really explains it well. It's an entertaining presentation of it, so it's not like boring you, because I think there's a chance with something like socialism that you're just gonna fall asleep. Mm-hmm. But there's so many really vivid examples of it being tried. There's no vivid examples of it succeeding, obviously, but there are a lot of examples of the way it was tried, and sometimes tried. We always think of Stalin and things like this, these really bad people who were involved in that, Lenin and Hitler and all of these people.
We show you really good examples of good people.
Of good people actually trying it.
It's like the pizza parlor in Boston.
Yeah.
They just did some socialist pizza experiment, and they wanted to have a socialist utopia. It's a pizza parlor. They got a $100,000 grant to open this up and pay everybody above minimum wage and do all the nice social justice things. They just closed down. It doesn't work. It is a flawed economic system. Now, it might make you feel good, but it's so much better to make money and then give it away. Use the capitalist system to change people's lives in a good way. Come up with something, and they did pizza. By all accounts, it was really good pizza. Good. So make it the capitalistic way, and then take your profits and invest it in something that you want to invest in, like the children and, you know, kids without faces and, you know, worms without ears, whatever your cause is.
I am a huge supporter of worms without ears, actually. Right? I'm a platinum board member.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. Well, it's important to me.
Yeah.
But, you know,
there's a lot of asterisks around this claim, but Elon Musk is a good example of this.
Yes.
Elon Musk made a lot of money in the capitalist system, and he decided one of the things he wanted to do was do all this green stuff. So he built Tesla. He's built all these other, you know, solar companies. He's working on the Hyperloop, all these things that he thinks are going to be very helpful to humanity. And I may or may not agree with many of them. A lot of them, I don't care about his claims. When it comes to the environment, but he makes a really good car. Now, there are a lot of asterisks around that with government funding that I don't agree with, and as you probably know,
if he didn't have the government funding, he just would have found a way to make the car cheaper.
I think he still would have done it.
Yeah, he
would
have.
Because he's got billions of dollars that he made in the capitalist system, now he's applying them to what he wants to support.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I'd love to have, I've never used this word before in a positive. I'd really like to have like a symposium sometime next year with some of the best minds in the country. Not only the conservative minds, but also the futurist minds on how do you get a message out? I think the days of people like me are numbered. I worry, and it has changed in the last 6 months, and things are becoming more and more clear on the railroad lines that have been laid by companies like Google, YouTube, Facebook, and even Apple is poised to get into it. How do we pay for news? How do we do news? How do we deliver news when these companies can just wash you out? People are not talking about the fact that Google has hired its first 1,000 journalists, end quote. They are going to provide news, and it's going to come all through them. And if they don't like you, you're not going to see it. It won't be, I mean, it'll be on some .com, but how do you find it? It's already beginning. You know, we are going to be doing a special next, probably after the first of the year, about Media Matters. And I want to show you how Media Matters is operating and how they are already at places like Google and YouTube. This, in their own words, they're already there telling them who should be dropped and who has an opinion that is important and who has an opinion that isn't important, which is offensive, what isn't. You want Media Matters deciding that? Because that's who Google and YouTube are now listening to. Which brings me to a story yesterday that we talked about. And if you have any money and you are looking to help somebody learn and gain some knowledge in a very effective way, I want you to make a donation to Prager University. Prager University is Dennis Prager. What he has done and his team is unbelievable. And what they have done is truly remarkable. And they make these 5-minute educational videos that, look, if you have a different opinion, you may not like it because they're very effective. But you can't tell me that they are inaccurate. They are done by some of the greatest minds alive today, and they are now being censored on YouTube and being demonetized, which means you can't they can't make money on them. Now, here's the thing. They operate on donations because I don't know how many thousands of dollars each of these videos cost, but they're not cheap to make. And so they have been making them on donations because they can't rack up the views like the Young Turks did, who are complete conspiracy theory guys, completely discredited, and yet they'll sell for $1 billion. PragerU is never going to be able to cash out at $1 billion. No company is ever going to buy PragerU. They're just not. We can't eat our own, and we must support our own. And Prager University, I can't recommend highly enough that you support them in every way possible, even if it is just spreading their video. So they have now... They have now filed a lawsuit on Monday against YouTube. And who do we have on, Stu? We have Marissa. Marissa Street. Yeah. She's the CEO. I love this woman. So smart. From PragerU. Hi, Marissa. How are you?
Hi, Glenn. It's so... thank you for this amazing introduction. I can't tell you how encouraging it is to have good people like you on our side.
Well,
wow, thank you.
I have been watching you and cheering you from the sidelines for a long time, and I want to do everything I can, and I've already pledged to you that Mercury One is going to give you a percentage of everything that we raise for education, because I think you guys do unbelievable work. Marissa, tell me what is happening at YouTube.
So I'll tell you something really interesting, how we heard about this to begin with. About a year and a half ago, we got some emails from students. You know, we have this student group called PragerForce. They're essentially our ambassadors on campuses across the United States. And they started emailing in saying, hey, what's going on? We've been watching your videos. We use them on campus, but for some reason we can't watch them. When we get to the library, we've been wanting to share them with some other students, and we couldn't figure out what was the issue. Why aren't they able to see these videos? So as we looked into it, we figured out that our videos are being restricted, and they're being restricted from the exact audience that needs these videos more than ever. So the students were the ones who told us, you know, we can't reach the videos. So we started looking into it, and we sent a few emails to Google and say this must be a mistake. Why would our videos be censored? We read through the guidelines. The guidelines said that videos that are censored are usually pornographic and graphic and hate speech and violent. Obviously, anybody in their right mind would watch our videos and agree with us that these videos are none of the above. So we started looking into it further. We heard crickets from YouTube for almost a year until we launched a petition this past summer and got close to 300,000 signatures. At that point, YouTube finally responded to us and said that they're reviewing our videos, and we have this in writing, by the way. They review our videos, and they deem them inappropriate and only appropriate for mature audience. So the very audience that we're trying to reach is essentially blocked from reaching our videos.
So the audience can get a handle on this. This is the, you know, these are the same kind of people that say that we have to teach about transgenderism to our kindergarten classes. Yet students in college cannot handle why isn't communism hated as Nazism or the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. You can't handle that. But a kindergartner can handle transgenderism. I don't understand it.
Exactly. I mean, that is our exact point. And that's the point that our students and our viewership was making. So, we can't allow the left to take over the university, to take over the internet as they have done with the university. If we lose the internet, which is obviously the way people get information these days, then what's left?
Yeah, this is the new Hollywood. And I mean, I think, for instance, Facebook, I think, is a replacement for the telephone, the television, the newsroom, talk radio. It's all forms of communication that we have had. And if you lose in Facebook and you lose with YouTube and Google, you're never going to be found. You're never going to be found. Do you know, Marissa, we have a internal a bunch of internal documents from Media Matters where they say they are already in-house at YouTube and Google advising them on what should be cut and what should remain. Were you aware of that?
I'm certainly not surprised. I mean, from the way that they've been dealing with us, it's not a surprise to me that they have... And by the way, it's complete hubris as well. They believe that they can get away with it. They believe that people on our side won't fight.
So, Marissa, what should people do? I know you filed a lawsuit, but what should people do?
So, first of all, we are fighting Goliath, and we know it. Suing Google/YouTube weighed very heavily on us. Obviously, it was a very big decision, but we decided that we have to do it, and we'll take any help we can get. So we have a petition, which obviously brought some awareness to YouTube and a willingness to at least communicate with us. If you can sign the petition on our website at PragerU.com, that would be immensely helpful, and share it with other people. This specific case is going to be tried in the court of public opinion as well as in the court of law, and we need you to help us win the public opinion and bring awareness. If you think about the word Google, people think that they use it as a verb, right? You can Google anything and find anything, but that is not the case. So the public should be aware of that. So we want everybody talking about it. And of course, financially, this is not going to be inexpensive. So anybody who can help us in any way, and by the way, even $5 shows me and my team that we're not in this alone. So anybody who can give anything at any level is hugely encouraging, and we need anything we can get.
Marissa, I thank you so much, and your team is truly remarkable, and I would go to work for you any day of the week. I think you guys are remarkable, and I'd be proud to be an intern there with the people that you have assembled. I'm sincere. I think you've created something really, truly remarkable, and you're making a difference, and I thank you for that. Thanks,
well,
Marissa.
God bless you. Thank you.
You bet. PragerU.com. Now, if you're a student, you cannot Google this. If you're at a university, you can't Google this and find it. This is the problem. If you are not a student, I want you to Google a couple of things. I want you to Google, why did America fight the Korean War? PragerU. And watch that. I want you to Google, what's the other one? Why isn't communism as hated as Nazism? Google the world's most persecuted minority, Christians. You watch those three things. Those have all been banned now by Google, by YouTube. And you can find them unless you have settings on your computer that you have set them so your kids can't watch them. They'll never pop up for you. If you're at a university or if you're at a government institution, you will never be able to find them. But if you don't have any filters, you're going to be able to find it. And I want you to watch those and ask yourself, why? Why would those be deleted? Why are those... With everything you can get on YouTube, how many times have you walked in and you've caught your kids online and you're like, what the hell are you even watching? How many times have you walked in on the Disney Channel? I want you to watch those and tell me what you would say if you walked in and your kids were watching those videos. I'd hug my kids. Google them and then do everything you can to support PragerU, PragerU.com. Next hour, I'm going to get into how the media is changing and going to change, but how everything is changing. We're going to talk a little bit about Bitcoin, and some people think that it is the biggest hoax on the planet. Other people think it is the future. I will tell you that I do invest some money, only money that was like play money. It was like, I can handle losing that. You know, don't put more. If you're somebody and you've got like $200 and you're like, we could go out for a weekend and spend that. Or, you know, I could put it in Bitcoin, put it in Bitcoin. Don't do it for the weekend. Don't, you know, save up for a month if you have to. Whatever, it's worth doing that, but never anything more than that, because you just don't know. But the world is changing. We are here, and by 2029, it's the Industrial Revolution. These are the next 10 years. This is it. Coming up next hour. Now, Equifax, a breach that impacted 143 million people just got bigger. I remember when LifeLock first went into business. And remember, isn't LifeLock the one that had the CEO that put his Social Security number out?
I think so, yeah.
And I remember thinking, who cares? I put my Social Security number anywhere because it was everywhere. You always were asked for your Social Security number. And then I started going like, well, I don't know if I want to give out my Social Security number. And I never really thought of, you know, hacking and people stealing my identity. I'm telling you, everybody's identity is at risk. Everybody. Yahoo, their breach impacted all 3 billion user accounts. So if you ever have had an account with Yahoo, your information is probably out. Once your information is out, it's been exposed, and it doesn't go away. Identity thieves have your information. It's probably on sale at the dark web. They can use it years after a breach, unless somebody is watching it. They can steal from your 401k. They can buy a house in your name. Now is the time to get protection. Sign up for LifeLock today. LifeLock has the proprietary technology that goes out and looks for the problems. If there is a problem, they have somebody in the country, a restoration specialist here in America, that will work to fix it with you. So they go the extra mile, and nobody can watch all bank accounts and monitor all transactions at all businesses, yada, yada, yada. But LifeLock will help watch it and find everything that you need. I want you to go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code Beck, or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use the promo code Beck. You'll save 10% off your membership. You need this. 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or LifeLock.com, promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Let me quickly go to Andrew in West Virginia. Hello, Andrew. Got about a minute. Go ahead.
Hey, I completely agree with the issue that you don't want Google and YouTube doing what they're doing. My concern is it sounds almost like using the government to try to push almost a regulatory response on them to say this is how you're going to operate when you're a private sector business. I just think that maybe it should be looked at from the perspective of encouraging other private sector businesses to compete with YouTube and Google to try to do the same thing and not have them be blocking people.
Okay, so I agree with you, Andrew. In theory, I agree with you. The lawsuit makes a rather important and nuanced case that is worth hearing or reading, and you can see it up at PragerU.com, and you should read it. The idea is that they claim to stand for open dialogue, and they're not. And that puts them legally in a different place.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
The Obama administration never intended for you to hear what is about to become public. An informant undercover for 5 years gathering information on Russia's efforts to grow its atomic energy business, not in Siberia, but here in the United States. Not only were the Russians successful in controlling a large swath of American uranium, but they did so by engaging in bribery, in kickbacks, extortion, and money laundering. Tonight at 5 o'clock, I have a full chalkboard on this. This is really important for you to see who is connected and what is involved. In Russia, they probably call this business as usual, but in America, we have one word for that type of venture, and it is this: illegal. According to an article in The Hill last week, the FBI was aware of all of this before the Obama administration approved the deal. And a big source of their evidence came from this undercover informant. Now, up until, I think it was yesterday, all we heard on this was whispers and rumors. But last night, the Department of Justice cleared the way for an informant to speak to Congress. Now, why wasn't this done years ago? This informant witnessed a slew of illegal activity by a hostile nation looking to control one of our most important strategic assets. You cannot make nuclear weapons without uranium. It is one of our most protected resources. It kind of sounds like that would be relevant. But it has been 8 years since he went undercover with the FBI, and Congress hasn't heard a peep. So why did Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch stonewall Congress from hearing the informant's testimony? He literally had a Department of Justice gag order on him. Not to keep him from telling, you know, his girlfriend or his neighbor about the, you know, super cool time, you know, as an FBI, he was a spy. But to keep the truth from you and Congress. Now, why would they do that? Well, let's see. According to The Hill, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, Russia routed millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation, and Bill Clinton collected hundreds of thousands of dollars in Russian speaking fees the week she was making the decision. This is all allegedly part of the Russian efforts to influence the U.S. government to approve the uranium deal. The informant's attorney said that her client will be able to shed light on, quote, what all the Russians were talking about during the time that these bribery payments were made. Well, that kind of puts this gag order into new context, doesn't it? You want to fully understand this story? It hits the chalkboard at 5 o'clock today, only on the Blaze TV. Get your popcorn ready. Things are about to get interesting.
Thursday, October 26th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Full disclosure, I am a very small investor in Bitcoin. And I believe that everybody should have something in Bitcoin. I mean, you don't have to buy one coin. You can buy a fraction of a coin. So, you know, you can put $100 into it. But I think everybody should be in some sort of digital currency. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I think this is, better than the gold rush. This could be a new form of currency. It also could just disappear. And there are people that are saying this is going to be worth billions and has already made people millionaires many times over if they invested early. And it is still pretty early on Bitcoin. I read an article from Tom Lee. He's the co-founder of Fundstrat, the global advisors, and he said that Bitcoin is going to soar to 25,000 a coin in the next 5 years. Others say it's going to be worth nothing in 5 years. I thought we'd put Tom on and pull a part of his thinking here and see what he is thinking. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Explain for people who don't really understand Bitcoin as simply as you can what it is.
It's tough to say in one sentence, and I'll try. Bitcoin is a real revolution in technology because it's taken encryption, which has normally been what they call centralized control. You know, things like banks would have controlled your security or Equifax.
Mm-hmm.
And they've decentralized it into a database that's managed on multiple computers.
So nobody really has control of the encryption, and it breaks everything up into multiple pieces, and it's stored everywhere around the world. And it when you want it, it sends out a beacon to pull all those puzzle pieces together. Is that right?
Exactly. So it's a revolutionary way to prevent fraud because now multiple computers have to confirm what's happening. But it's also incredibly, incredibly robust. It's the equivalent of this field of science called biomimicry, the idea that nature can establish the best type of systems. Blockchain and Bitcoin may represent the best way for people to personally secure all their information in a digital world.
Okay, so now that we're looking at a world where paper is becoming more and more meaningless, literally and figuratively, Nobody is really using paper dollars. I mean, I don't know the last time I you know, except for tips, you know, reached into my wallet and pulled out currency. This is a way to get away from, you know, government controlled currency and have something that is of real value. And at the same time, there's nothing that you actually can even hold in your hand. So some people are saying it's even worth less than paper.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a mistaken belief that things you hold physically are important. I mean, just to give you an example, the UK economy is roughly $4 trillion. They only circulate 77 billion pounds worth of currency. The UK economy is essentially all run on digital money.
Right.
You know, for every pound, there's almost $1,000 of digital money. Digital money and securing money is really the first logical application of blockchain, you know, because you can prevent what they call the double spend problem, that someone could say, hey, I've got a dollar here, and then they try to spend it twice. With blockchain, the network says, nope, that you're trying to double spend it. You know, we've got a million computers that say it just traded hands already.
So, Tom, why do you think that Bitcoin, and do you think it's going to last? Why do you think Bitcoin's going to go up to 25,000 in 5 years? That is a massive jump.
Yes, it's actually by design. So what's been the developers of blockchain didn't want to enrich only people who invested and created the network. They wanted to create value for all the users. It's the nature of blockchain and how the miners work. But Bitcoin acts so well as a digital store of value. I think for your older listeners, they might say, oh, I own gold. They need to think about how the millennials view their life, and they view Bitcoin as an authentic store of value, and it's for 7 years, it's never been hacked. So it is the most uncorruptible network. If Bitcoin captures just 5% of the market for alternative currencies, so not money or not financial markets, but just alternative currencies, it would be worth somewhere between $25,000 and $55,000 per unit in 5 years. And it's a conservative estimate, arguably, because one, we're saying only 5% of alternative currencies. If we say 5% of all currencies, the number is significantly larger.
Okay, so Tom, so a couple of things. First of all, what is it today?
5,900.
5,900. Yeah. Okay,
5,900. It was at 1,100 this spring. So it is already just gone crazy. When you say need to have 5%. It's hard to buy things with Bitcoin. I mean, there's not 5%, anywhere close to 5% penetration just in America. How do you see that happening in the next 5 years?
Well, in 5 years, the way we're going to engage and use digital coins is going to change dramatically. Already young people use Venmo and PayPal, and these are essentially alternative money platforms. Anyways, but more importantly, you have to keep in mind today the Bitcoin market is really only engaged by a small number of people. Around 350,000 people own at least 2 Bitcoin. Remember, there's 7 billion people in this world. It's not even owned by any institutions in a large way because most institutions don't know how to actually take possession of a digital coin. You know, it's what we call a custody issue in our business. So it's early days. I think the move from 1,100 to 6,000 is actually, we have a model which says take the number of active users and as a function plus how much they're spending every month. That's explained 94% of the move of Bitcoin since 2013. So the move from 1,000 to 6,000 is just because more people are using it.
So it's not that people are coming in and investing in it. It's people that are actually using it.
Exactly. It's actually transaction volume has justified the rise in Bitcoin. And so if we were to use that as a way to look ahead 12 months, you can easily get to values around 10,000 by assuming the user growth drops by over 80%. So in other words, if we grew at roughly 200% this year, if you grow at a hugely decelerated rate next year, you still end up with a big rise in Bitcoin's value.
I mean, I got to say, Tom, your predictions are already flawed and discredited. As I see here, you've made a prediction in this article that in the short term, we think Bitcoin will reach 6,000 by mid-2018. And between October and now, that's already happened. This is really happening quickly, isn't it?
That's right. And we had published that forecast in August. And at that time, Bitcoin had grown its user base by roughly 500% over the past 12 months, and we said it would only grow 50% in the next 12 months. So we had a 90% deceleration of user engagement, and it still got to $6,000. So I think...
So, Tom, you know, how is the... Where are the hurdles here? I mean, from people just rushing into something and then a government saying, no, we're not doing this. Do you see real hurdles? I mean, one of the first hurdles was it can't be corrupted. So we know that now.
That's right. Today, for instance, just to give you an idea of how secure it is, it would cost $31 billion to try to create one fake transaction, because you'd have to take over 51% of the computing power in Bitcoin, which, by the way, today the computing power of Bitcoin is roughly 1,000 times the computing power of Google today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But there are risks. I mean, number one, we're seeing it. It's because it's a revolutionary technology. Developers have disagreement. That's why we're seeing the coin split off. So there's been some spinoffs from Bitcoin. But at the end of the day, I think everybody is trying to move towards creating the most secure digital token, which is actually what you want to see. You don't want to see a standard static. So I think the forks are actually good. The second risk is, as you said, governments don't really understand this, and of course it creates an opportunity for criminal behavior. I think the risk, and I think the SEC and the U.S. government are aware of this, if they try to regulate digital currencies, it has two negative implications. Number one, Bitcoin is not considered a form of money. It is a form of database encryption. The government would be trying to outlaw your ability to protect your information. Because, in the future, we're going to have our passports, a lot of our information stored on blockchain. It's just much more secure.
Sure.
The second is, if we try to regulate blockchain, innovation is going to take place outside the U.S. This happened with derivatives market, which developed in Europe. It happened with credit market evolution. If we try to stop blockchain here, all the innovation is going to happen in Asia, Latin America, Europe, even in Russia. And I think that would be a huge security risk for our economy.
Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Tom Lee, co-founder of Funstrat Global Advisors. It's at funstrat.com as well as at Funstrat on Twitter. Every time I hear one of these interviews, I start thinking to myself, I need to just put it, like, I know it's insane.
It's crazy.
But like,
it's crazy.
It's just, you get so, it makes so much sense that it's growing so fast.
But it's growing. Anything grows this fast comes down that fast. I mean, you just have to be really, really cautious. But I think it's insane for somebody not to have $100 in Bitcoin today. I mean,
can you think $100, what's that going to mean? Well, if you did $100 in 2014, you're talking about thousands of dollars, $3,000-$4,000 now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just where it is now.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's going to have that
quickly.
Same kind of growth.
Well, we don't know.
Maybe, it could. Mm-hmm. It could. But I wouldn't mind losing $100 on a bet like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let it sit there for 10 years. Let's see what it's worth. Anyone paying attention knows now is the time to prepare. Everything is upside down and inside out. I know you know that we don't have a guarantee on what tomorrow is going to bring, everything's going to change. I've been talking about that 10-year period where the world's going to be turned inside out, and it'll be like the Industrial Revolution, but except it won't take 100 years. It will take 10 years. I believe we are in that 10-year period. I believe the... the year of the singularity is 2029. And I think 2018, 2019, you know, right now we're starting that 10-year period. By 2030, the world will be completely different. So that's going to be good things. We make it through it. But how do we make it through? What does your job look like? You know, with self-driving cars, if you're a truck driver, what happens to your job? What are you going to do? May I suggest that you, not just for emergencies, because emergencies are happening all the time, and I think the world is going to shake its foundations in more ways than one, and you want to be prepared. My Patriot Supply is the solution. Get their 102-serving survival food kit, price starting at less than a dollar per serving. That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. 102 breakfast, lunch, and dinners for a dollar per serving, less than? Call 800-200-7163 or order online at preparewithglenn.com. Dependable emergency food storage. Trust the people like I do at My Patriot Supply. Preparewithglenn.com. 800-200-7163.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
We were talking about Bitcoin, and I think a lot of people have no idea what the heck it is and why you'd care.
By the way, I don't get any money from Bitcoin. I am a believer in Bitcoin, but only insane amounts. And I use Xapo.com, Xapo.com. That's how you can buy it and have a, you know, bank account.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, what I keep, people are like, well, what, I would put $100 in. What's the value? Well, if it goes down by 80%, which is possible, then it's only worth $20 and you've lost $80. Not a huge deal. But I mean, if you had done that in 2015, that same $100 would be worth, you know, what, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 now.
How much if you put $100 in it now, let's say $1,000, let's put $1,000 in it now, and he's right, and it's $55,000 per Bitcoin.
Yeah,
that's right. His top. It's about by 2020.
It's about 11 times what it is now. So, I mean, any money you put in there, you'd make 11 times your money if this is right. And these are really big projections. I don't necessarily know if that's going to happen.
My philosophy on this is, you know, what are you going to go out and blow on a really nice weekend? Let's say you want to go do some really nice weekend. You want to stay someplace, or you want to
skip one weekend.
Skip one of those really nice things and just put that money and put it into Bitcoin and just let it sit there. I mean, at worst, you missed a really good weekend that might have cost you $1,000. So put that in there because you don't care if you're going to lose that. And then just let it ride.
It's gone up 30 times since Donald Trump came down the escalator. That's how recent this is. 30 times your money. But quickly, the thing that I think this audience would like is there's a limited amount of them. You can't inflate because there's a limited amount of them. It can't. They can only print so many.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello to our Los Angeles listeners on KEIB. So glad that you've tuned us in. I want to talk a little bit about Fusion GPS. I did a chalkboard on it last night. It's a really funny chalkboard. You should watch it. You can find it at glennbeck.com or theblaze.com on Fusion GPS. But I want to go over that. And today, I'm going to do another chalkboard on the Uranium One scandal because it's really important that you understand that. But let me quickly go over some of the facts of Fusion GPS and why this is important and how this all ties in. And there are no good guys, no good guys. And you were the last one to know. Because of the New York Times, the New York Times is saying that Clinton and the DNC lied to the American people for the last year on this. It's a stunning article coming from the New York Times. It is an absolute indictment on the corruption of the DNC and the Clinton administration. Here is what we now know, and we only know this because of a federal subpoena for Fusion GPS bank records. Now, Fusion GPS is a firm based in Washington, D.C. that does opposition research. So if you're looking for research, you're looking for the dirt on somebody, you go to these guys. Okay. They hire people all over the world to dig up dirt. Okay. Around April of 2016, the law firm representing the Clinton campaign and the DNC started making payments to Fusion GPS so they would start digging up dirt on Donald Trump. It was then that the name Christopher Steele first appears in this story. He is a British MI6 agent. He is apparently a credible guy, but now is doing private work compiling dossiers. This is the guy who compiled the dossier that, Donald Trump was, taking golden showers, which to him could be a completely legitimate thing. Actual golden showers. I don't know. And he was in bed with Putin and My Little Pony. And remember when that came out, how discredited that was. Okay, he's the guy that put that dossier together, and we now know he put that together for and funded by Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC. Once he had this dossier, he then took it, gave it to the Clinton campaign, and then gave it to the FBI. Now, this was revealed in a British lawsuit over the dossier. He began then to brief reporters on its contents. So it's owned by the Clinton campaign and the DNC. But he, for some strange reason, just decides to give it to the FBI, brief them on it, and to start shopping it around to reporters. And he gave it to the New York Times, Washington Post, Yahoo News, The New Yorker, CNN, Mother Jones. But nobody picked this up until BuzzFeed did in the following January. The FBI, when they saw it, they made an agreement with Steele. And they said they would pay $50,000 for the contents of this dossier and have him continue to do some work for them. $50,000 from the FBI, your money. The FBI backed out of that deal as soon as his name was leaked to the press. They were like, what? We don't know that guy. I don't know what you're talking about. However, they did reimburse him for some of his expenses. So why is the FBI and Steele connection really important here? Because CNN reported via an anonymous source that the Steele dossier was used as part of the justification to get the FISA warrant approved. Now, FISA is a secret court that if you think something bad's going on, you can go to this secret court and they can issue all kinds of what traditionally we would have said illegal things. And this is what when Donald Trump said they're spying on me, they're tapping, my phones at Trump Tower. That turns out now to be true. And it was done using this dossier of the golden showers. Now, here's the problem with this. This warrant was given based on a dossier on Donald Trump that the FBI had to know was actually being funded by one presidential candidate to discredit the other presidential candidate. I mean, conflict of interest at best comes in play here, or worse. But it actually gets much worse than this. And this is where Donald Trump is dragged into this. Remember the June 16th meeting with the Russian lawyer and Don Jr. at Trump Tower? Okay, this is a meeting that, we had no idea. Well, unfortunately, first it was just this woman. Then we found out it was another guy and then another guy and then another guy with an attorney. We now know for sure that one of the guys in that room is a Russian immigrant that was admitted to having Soviet counterintelligence. He was a counterintelligence officer for the GRU. That's military intelligence. But what he specialized in was really important. What he specialized in was, quote, subversive political influence operations involving disinformation and propaganda. Now, why is this relevant with the Fusion GPS? Because who had the Kremlin hired to represent them? The Kremlin had hired this guy and the woman that met with Don Jr., whose expertise was disinformation and subversive political influence. They hired, the Kremlin hired them, and they hired Fusion GPS. Okay, so wait a minute. Are you telling me, I mean, this is a secret that was in a lockbox someplace with all of our Social Security money that we'll never find. You're telling me the FBI was given a file by Fusion GPS. They got a warrant. They saw that this company was coming in, Fusion GPS, with these two Russian spies that we now know are Russian spies, who had subversive political influence operations in their history, meeting with the guy who wants to be president, and they don't think that maybe that this dossier might be tainted because they're working with the Kremlin. So the FBI misses the Clinton campaign. They miss the DNC connection. How did they miss the Kremlin connection? Is there anybody at home? In both scenarios, where they just missed it or whatever, if the FBI didn't know about the connections to the Clinton campaign and Russia, or if they did know it and they used that information anyway to get a FISA warrant, there's some serious trouble here. There's trouble for Donald Trump. There is trouble for, big trouble for Hillary Clinton. There's big trouble for the DNC. And there's even bigger trouble for James Comey. Because Comey, unfortunately for him, was asked under oath, do you know anything about these guys? Listen.
The chairman mentioned that Fusion, are you familiar with Fusion?
I know the name.
Okay. Are they part of the Russian intelligence apparatus?
I can't say.
Okay. Do you agree with me that if Fusion was involved in preparing a dossier against Donald Trump, that would be interfering in our election by the Russians?
I don't want to say.
I don't want to say.
Okay.
You know why he doesn't want to say? Because he knew that Fusion did that dossier. He knew it came from Steele. He approached them and said, here's a dossier. Now, did he ask who funded that dossier? Did the FBI want to know who's behind gathering all of this evidence? Because it was Hillary Clinton's campaign that was funding all of this. And it was Fusion GPS. And if they knew that that dossier came from the Clinton campaign, and they were using it for a FISA court, and he also knew, Lindsey Graham's question is really important. If they would have used, if Fusion GPS used and created this document, which we now know is true, wouldn't you say that is the Kremlin influencing, trying to influence our election? I'd rather not say. No, the answer to that is yes. But you'd rather not say because it incriminates the FBI. Here's the thing, guys. Do not disregard Russia. Putin is playing a long game and he is separating us. He is trying to get us to be either for Hillary Clinton or against Hillary Clinton, for Donald Trump or against Donald Trump. Instead, we should be for the rule of law over the rule of the jungle. This is the most corrupt story I have ever seen in my lifetime. And this ties again to what I'm going to lay out on a chalkboard tonight at 5. the beginning, we're going to do a whole week on it, the beginning of the Uranium One story. The Russians now own 20% of our uranium because of bribery. We know that now because a gag order has finally been lifted, and it opens up a whole can of worms on Clinton and what she and Bill and the Clinton Foundation were doing. This is massive. If CNN wants to prove that they actually do call an apple, they better change their ways right now. Because this story is not just about Donald Trump. This story is not just about Hillary Clinton. This story is about the Russians. It is about the FBI. It's about all of them. And all of them are corrupt.
There are a lot of good guys in the story, though, right? You're going to get to that next time? All the really upstanding Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
I will
types.
Tell you this. You know who the good guy is in this story? Turns out, at least in this story, on this story, a few congressmen and the New York Times. I mean, Maggie, what's her name?
Haberman.
She came out and she's the one who said Clintons have been lying unabashedly for what with
a year
with great hubris or something like that for a year.
Yeah.
And they're calling, the New York Times called them out.
Yeah, the Washington Post hit this story pretty hard, too. I mean, there has been actual reporting on this. There's been a few actual examples of journalism lately.
Yeah, we have scattered showers of journalism that's breaking out from coast to coast. It will go away, and they'll stop with it soon. But all right, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold, I do not buy as an investment. I have told you for a while that the world is going to go into chaos, and I think we're there. I think you know that. You try to figure things out. I mean, try. What do you depend on anymore? What do you believe in anymore? I mean, I asked you that 10 years ago. There were lots of things on your list. What do you really trust right now outside of your family? God forbid you don't trust your family. Outside of your family. That lack of trust, when it hits the institutions and especially money goes to zero. It is the full faith and credit of the United States of America. When that happens, that paper is not worth the paper it's printed on. And it always ends the same way. Now, this time they say it's different. It's not different. It never is different. That's what they say every time. It's never different. If it is different, it will be the first time in human history that a currency can be debased this much and survive. So I have recommended to you for a while, spread things out. Spread it out. If you have everything in your 401k, and I know this is really hard because the stock market keeps going up. Well, it was going up in 1928 too. It's going to reset. It's going to come down. Don't go through that you went through in 2008. Especially if you are anywhere 60, you're getting ready to retire, don't do it. I trust Goldline. I put 10% of my money in gold. And I do it as an insurance policy for insanity. And if you can't tell me that the world has gone insane, and I don't know what papers you're listening to or reading or what you're watching or listening to, world is insane. Ask them about their price guarantee specials this month. You can call them at 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-465-3546. Read their important risk information. Find out if buying gold or silver is right for you. It is for my family. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Saw a movie last night with my wife. It was date night. And we went out and saw Only the Brave. the story of those Arizona, the 19 firefighters, that you'll remember it once you start to watch the movie. It's a true story. It is absolutely phenomenal. You will love this movie. Love this movie. And it is, if you don't know anything about fire, firefighters in, forest fires, this will blow your mind. You've never seen anything like it. Really good. Only the Brave. Check it out.
Glenn Beck.
Anko beef tacos and spicy sweet potato. How about that? With Monterey Jack cheese and pickled jalapeno. How about vegetable pad thai? Or spinach and mushroom pasta with creamy tomato sauce. Yummy, right? But you might think, you're going out to a restaurant for that, probably, to actually make it right and make it gourmet. No, you can actually do that at home now with Blue Apron. Blue Apron makes this easy. And I say you can do it at home. Well, I guess some chef could do it at home his whole life. I can't. I can barely microwave stuff. They send me a big box of stuff that has all the ingredients, fresh or organic, really delicious ingredients that have, they're really kind of like different. They're not ingredients I'd always use, but the food is delicious and you become the hero of the household when you make them. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first meal with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/stew. blueapron.com/stew. It's Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
I actually like this. Pizza with a purpose. I don't happen to agree with their purpose, but I like the idea. People doing something that is meaningful to them. That was the motto of the Boston area restaurant, Dudley Dough. They serve the usual fare, pizza, coffee, and economic justice.
The idea that we have is to take whatever profit we're able to generate and share it with the workers, to give them the proper reward for their efforts.
Okay, great idea. Great idea. Nonprofit organization, 2015. They wanted to test out their ideas of economic justice and fair wages. 2 years after the opening, we now know the results, and it always ends exactly the same. Dudley Dough is closing their doors. By all accounts, the pizza was really good. It was fresh. It was the social justice part of the business model that was rotten and didn't work. Now, they started out with something that most people don't have, a $100,000 donation from the owner of the New England Patriots. But since they weren't intent on really making any money, the business failed. That's the problem. You have to be motivated to make money. If you're not, it doesn't work. There's no penalty. There's no downside to you. It's why social justice doesn't work for the banks. And that's exactly what was happening back in 2008. Social justice. Well, they're too big to fail. You're just too little. Dudley Dough had some nice ideas, I'm sure, and they made sure they paid their employees more than minimum wage, and they donated pizza for daily tutoring sessions, and I support it. That's great. But what would have been nicer is for the employees and the clients, if they were still able to go to work and be able to have the pizza that they liked. Here's what people need to understand. Making money is not evil. It is the love of money that is. Money is just something that enables you to do the things that you care deeply about. Now, this is a fact that capitalist-minded people that have businesses, they better get this or they're going to go out of business. And capitalist-minded people, they are able to share the money and success to exponentially more people if they just make a good product. If Dudley Dough struck a good balance between taking care of their community and taking care of finances, taking care of their business, they'd still be in business today and they'd be doing good. So let's learn the lesson from Dudley Doe. Social justice is worse than anchovies on pizza.
Thursday, October 26th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
We have told you the story about Tiffany, whose last name is kept confidential for her own safety and security. But here's a woman that was raped. Tiffany, can you, if you don't mind, can you take us back to when you're 12 so people understand how bad this was?
When I was 12, me and my sister, my best friend, decided that we would sneak out of the house like most pre-teenagers do. We were going uptown to meet another one of our girlfriends, and that's when Christopher had pulled up. Now, we were friends with his niece, so we didn't second-guess getting into the vehicle with him. You know, we knew him. We didn't think anything. So then he decided, we got in the vehicle, we went all the way down to Detroit, and then on our way back, he had stole gas from a gas station, and then he threw our phones out of the vehicle and took us to a house near his dad's house. And that's where we were kept for 2 days. My sister ended up getting released, and that's how the cops ended up finding us.
Were all of you raped by him?
No, just me.
So you decide to keep the baby, which had to be a tough decision.
Yes, it was. I mean, I knew I wouldn't have an abortion no matter what, but it was just, am I keeping my son or am I giving him up for adoption? Those were the only two choices.
And when did you decide to keep your son?
About 3 days after I found out I was pregnant.
And you wouldn't have an abortion because?
To me, my son was innocent. It doesn't make a baby how it was conceived, I guess is what I'm trying to say. He didn't do any wrong. My son is the light of my life. He's everything. Even till this day, I will not go back and make a different decision.
So you raise your child, and you're still going to school, or do you drop out of school?
I dropped out of school.
Okay. And how do you make ends meet at 12? You're living with your mom and dad?
Yeah, I was living with my mom and dad. When I turned 14, I went out and I was washing dishes at a bar and grill in town. And then I was working at McDonald's and factory work and, you know, anything really just to get by.
And when did you reach out for government assistance?
I've actually been on government assistance since I was 18 years old. I don't know why it took them 3 years to decide that they wanted to know who the father was or really what their reasoning is.
And so when they asked you who the father was, what was your response?
I told them, because they told me that if I didn't comply with the survey online, that they would take my government assistance away.
And did you tell them that this was a rape?
There was no way to tell them because it's all on the computer. Like, there's no box to check or anything. So I put in all the information, and then when it got sent to the prosecutor's office, when I went up there to sign all the paperwork, the first thing I told them that this was a rape case. And they said, well, this is still standard procedure. We still have to do this.
So when he found out that he was now getting visitation rights and he was a co-parent with you, how did you find that out?
Actually, I had gotten to contact with Rebecca Kiesling, which is my attorney, because I didn't have a court order. I was living in Florida at the time. So I had called Rebecca, a Right to Life, and they gave me Rebecca's number. When I called Rebecca, she went ahead and got a copy of the court order, and that's when we found out that he had joint legal custody and visitation rights.
Has he made contact?
Through his niece, yes.
Have you...
His niece had texted me and asked, hey, Chris wants to know if he can see his son.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a little scary.
Okay, so the last judge said, came out and said, okay, wait a minute, I didn't know. I didn't know that this was a rape case, and so they were going to open it back up again. Are your attorneys telling you that there's a pretty good chance that his rights to the child are going to be taken away?
That's what we're hoping.
Thank you so much, Tiffany, for sharing. Is there anything our audience can do besides pray for you?
Nope. There is a GoFundMe page that one of my good friends set up, because the courthouse gave the rapist me and my son's address.
Oh, jeez.
So now he knows where we live.
So you're looking to move and raise some funds?
So that way we can relocate, so that way he can't know where we live. He doesn't have our address.
Let's rock her world. This is an audience that can just change people's lives in 10 minutes. Let's rock her world. That was 24 hours ago. She had in her GoFundMe page that a friend had set up a few days before, she had about $270. In her GoFundMe page, I just checked, because of this audience, she now has $76,231. You are a remarkable group of people. Truly a remarkable group of people. How that will change her life. She wrote to you. I just want to say thank you so much. This is going to change my whole life. What I didn't tell you is we're getting an eviction notice on Friday because we've been struggling. I can't seem to ever tell you thank you enough. This has forever changed my life and my son's life, and it couldn't have been done without you. I'm speechless watching the number and comments. I'm overwhelmed with tears. Tiffany. Our sponsor this half hour is American Finance. Data is showing that customers are struggling amid rising household debt. And if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, it's time to make a change. Don't let debt, especially high interest credit card debt, get the best of you. You do have options when it comes to your financial health. Refinancing your mortgage is something that may not be on top of your mind, but it is certainly a difference maker for homeowners. Mortgage interest rates now are still way lower than your double-digit credit card rates. So why not roll all of that debt into your mortgage? A great way to see the right solution for you is by calling the salary-based mortgage experts at American Financing. With American Financing, you get a straightforward and effortless mortgage experience, and you're able to start all over again. American Financing. Call them now. 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440. If you need a mortgage or to refi, call these people. They're really good. I know them. I've known them for a very long time. AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation. NMLS 182334. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
We are thrilled to have a music superstar stop by and say hello. Haven't seen you since, I think, Birmingham we were together.
Yeah, what a treat that was.
We are so thrilled. Matthew West has his new CD out called All In. And you have such a great attitude. I just love your music.
Thank you.
And I love the fact, last time you were here, we talked about how you take the stories of fans.
That's right.
And you're writing their story.
That's right.
So tell me about All In.
Well, it's been an exciting season. I started this year for 6 weeks. I went to a cabin not far from my home in Nashville. And it was actually a cabin that was built by the great country singer Alan Jackson. Hmm. And he built it as his creative retreat.
Oh, nice.
And then sold the property off to some people that I know. And they said, hey, we want you to go write your songs there. So every day for 6 weeks, I started off at this cabin and I wrote the songs for this new record. And, you know, my faith is very important to me. And what one thing that I've done in my personal life is every year I sort of just spend some time at the beginning of the year just praying and seeing if there's a certain theme that's going to rise up in my own personal life. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the theme was in two small words, but put together, it's a mighty message. All in. You put those words together and it's like, okay, what does it look like for me to go all in my life like never before? For me, I'm driven by the thought of I want to reach the end of my life with no regrets. Now, I know that's next to impossible, but if that's my aim, maybe I'll have a few less regrets than I would otherwise. And so really every song on this record was inspired by the question of me in that cabin every day before I picked up my guitar, just kind of asking God, what are the areas of my life where I've been phoning it in, where I've been coasting, where I've been going through the motions? How could I go deeper in my life? Show me those areas.
Where were you coasting?
Well, what's crazy is when you think about the words all in, I start immediately, my mind goes towards what kind of big things can I do? You know, I'm about numbers, you know, the numbers we had in Birmingham, the attendance, how many people come to my shows? What can I do that's big, big, big? But I felt like God kept redirecting my attention
to the small
and saying the little things are the big things. So for me personally, if I'm being totally honest, it was, I felt like God was showing me inside the four walls of my own home.
Yeah.
And saying, Matthew, it's time for you to go all in like never before as a husband to your wife. We've been married 14 years, but I felt like, what if the next 14 years could be even better than the first? You know, it's time to go all in as a dad to your kids. You're traveling all the time, you know, and as what's funny is in your lobby here, my 8-year-old daughter's watching this interview right now. Why? Because of my answer to that challenge to go all in.
Interesting you came up with that and you took that guidance while you were alone in a cabin.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Well, for me, it was, I do so much talking in my life that I start to realize how rarely I actually listen. And I found like when I finally stop and like listen long enough to, you know, hear what maybe God's trying to tell me, man, something special takes place. And then it is interesting. Yeah. I come out of this like silent retreat and I come out of it like just fired up, man. I come out fired up to make the most of, you know, not just the songs that I sing, but the life that I'm living. And hopefully these songs inspire others.
I mean, that's the same message he's given me. Stop. Listen. Quiet. Right. Small things. Do the small things right.
Yeah, do the next right thing in your life.
Just master one small little thing.
That's right.
And it's remarkable how game-changing that is. I was talking to some friends and I said, you know, I wonder if we're not, I may have even used the words all in. I wonder if we're not all in like Peter was.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we were all in like Peter before the cock crows.
Right.
Or after. You know, at one point he was all in. At one point he just said he was all in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think most of us are, you know, before the dawn, Peter.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories in the Bible of like, and you think about it, like Peter was this guy that was so hot and cold. There were moments where he was like, you know, top of the line, like just unwavering in his faith and devotion. And then the next minute he's denying that he even knew the guy that he said he served. Right. But then when he was so defeated after what he had done, he denied knowing Jesus. He went back to this defeated life and said, I'm just going to go back to being a fisherman. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think that's one of my favorite moments because I think there's a lot of people who at one point in their life, they were all in. Like we had that innocence of our youth where anything was possible. The whole world was ahead of us. And then what happens? Man, we make some wrong choices. A job doesn't turn out the way we want it to. A dream gets taken away from us. A spouse gets taken away or something that we love or someone that we love. And little by little, I feel like our sights get lowered.
Yep.
And we stop dreaming.
Yes.
We stop dreaming and we start just defeated thinking the best of me is behind me. But, you know, I guess with my songs, maybe I'm just as desperate as anybody else to be reminded that, no, man, the best is yet to come. The minute you decide, I'm going to go all in and make the most of the time I have left in this life, the best is not behind me. Mm-hmm. It's ahead of me.
I will tell you, as you're talking, I keep thinking of Frank Sinatra. Because a lot of the Frank Sinatra songs, My Way, That's Life, all of that is, and I love a lot of the Frank Sinatra songs because of that. It's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Just stop it. Just do it.
That's right.
Just do it. You're your biggest obstacle, man.
That's it.
Your biggest obstacle.
I love there's an old comedy sketch with Bob Newhart where he's got a patient. He's a counselor and a therapist. Mm-hmm. And this lady starts telling him everything that's wrong in her life. He goes, okay, I'm going to give you some advice. Are you ready? Yeah. And he says, write this down. And he goes, stop it. Just stop thinking. She's like, but I think I'm afraid of this. Well, stop it.
If only it were that simple, but I love that advice.
You know what? I think it actually is that simple.
It might be. Yeah. You're right about us being our greatest obstacles.
Yeah.
And I'm that way as well. And so these songs are my own personal reminder to go, man, what are you waiting for? Go all in.
Yeah. I read a great quote the other day. It said, life is actually really simple. It's people that are complex.
That's right.
It's Matthew West. The name of the CD is All In. I don't even know. CD, is that? I mean, that just, I may feel like a really old man saying that.
You're holding the only CD. No.
Yeah, I know. Like, nobody, I mean, I don't know anybody that has a CD.
Hand it to my daughters and they're like, what is this?
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? Matthew West, All In. Matthew, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
God bless. Thank you for all of the help and support throughout the years.
It's incredible what you're doing. Thank you.
Great man. Thank you. Matthew West, All In.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So we have good news for you. The House has passed that bad budget.
Yes.
So we're one step closer to the mediocre, if not bad, tax cuts.
Nice.
We're all actually excited for, because it's the best we can get.
Yeah.
So
low expectations.
Yeah.
Woo! It's really exciting, isn't it?
Oh. Paul Ryan is out.
216-212, by the way, was about 20 Republicans voted against it. But I mean, that isn't really important. You know, when it's a controversial item like that, you'll get the votes against it. As long as it stays above that break-even point, you'll get a bunch of votes against it.
So now it goes to the Senate, and God only knows what the hell the Senate will do. I don't even know if they're still in session.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even know if they even show up anymore. I have no idea. Ben Sasse, however, is a senator. And if for anybody who might be losing hope, and losing hope in America, yes, I do see Paul Ryan currently giving a speech where he says, this is going to reignite the American dream. I don't know if I buy that one from Paul Ryan, but
let's not shoot too high. Give me a few dollars back. I'll be happy. Like, if you can get that done.
Yeah. Let's listen to what Ben Sasse said yesterday.
Conservative way to say it is that we're always one generation away from the extinction of freedom, because you have to persuade the next generation that we believe in minority rights. This is the Madisonian genius in the Constitution's construction, right? Is that everybody is supposed to view themselves as a creedal minority that has identities that are way more important than their political positions, and that together we want to come together with lots of other creedal minorities so that together we become a majority that is against any populist majority trying to compel us to believe things that are more important than politics. And so I think of it as rank ordered identities, right? Like, I'm a Christian first, I'm a husband second, I'm a dad third, I'm an American fourth. Then I go down that list and I'm a conservative and I'm a Nebraskan, and somewhere like 37th on the list, I'm a Republican. But the really important thing here is I believe the theological things that I believe first, but I take an oath as an American and as a public official for a limited time, to serve in this kind of office to advance an American understanding a principled pluralism, which is prior to my policy preferences as a Republican. And so to your point, if the Democrats have largely become a post-constitutional party over the last couple decades, the death of the Republican Party as it becomes post-constitutional is truly a death.
Wow. You know, we just talk about that or fake news.
I hope.
Wow.
Can he just not speak again until the presidential election of 2020? I just don't want him to be ruined for me.
Welcome to Pat Gray. I don't think he's going to.
He is. I don't think so either. But how many times have we been disappointed? Way too many. But Ben Sasse seems like the real thing.
No, wait.
Now,
hang on just a second. He's just talking.
Mm-hmm.
So we're usually not disappointed in people talking. We're usually disappointed in people doing.
Yeah.
So, but he's really good. He can make the point. He's humble. He's funny. He's relatively normal for a nerd. I really like him.
He's
I really
a
like
deep too. Knowledge about the way the founders wanted this stuff to happen
without being a guy who beats you over the head with the Constitution.
Yeah, it's interesting because he is, I think, so immersed in it, and he knows it so well. He's able to communicate it like a normal human being,
yes.
Which is rare. He's not reading
yes.
it. It's
yes.
not just like
You'll talk to Mike, and Mike is such a legal mind. I mean, he's a lawyer, and he should be a Supreme Court justice.
Mike Lee.
Yeah, Mike Lee. And Mike is the kind of guy who is like, you know, he'll be like, you'll be in the middle of a conversation and be like, no, but Section 6. What? What are you talking? What? And he's sincere, and then he'll catch himself. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm such a freak. And then he'll put it. Ben seems to know. I don't know if he knows it as well as Mike Lee, but he knows it. He knows how the system is supposed to work. And that's nice because usually they get there and they're like, yeah, it's not supposed to work this way. And 3 weeks later, they're like, this is the greatest way it is. This is the way the founders wanted to. They were all money grubbing, greedy, bribery drunks.
Yeah.
And he seems to have missed that.
Do you take this out of him, Pat, as well, where he seems to actually be, unlike every other politician, or at least most of them, a well-rounded human being.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. He seems to have like other interests.
And he's got a way of conversing and connecting with people, which Ted Cruz didn't really have. Everybody liked what he was saying, just didn't like the way he was saying it. And
they
so
didn't
it
really
left
like
them
him.
Cold. They didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they didn't, left him cold.
Yeah. Because he is. I mean, once you get to know him, he's actually really funny.
Yeah.
But you don't get, you know, you usually would. He's the kind of guy that you'd be at the party with. And everybody would be standing around going, why is that guy always here? And if you're close enough to him, you figure out why he's always there. He's actually probably the life of the party without anybody knowing it. He's a funny guy. But mm-hmm. you just don't, you know, you're like, it's going to take work to find that.
Yeah.
So.
And nobody wanted to do that work this last.
No.
This last time.
No.
Nobody wanted it.
No.
So.
So, Pat, first mm-hmm. of all, we'll get into some of the stuff that you wanted to get to. But let me ask you this. The Uranium One and the Fusion GPS stuff, this isn't going to go well for Hillary and the Democrats.
I don't know. Is it going to gain the momentum needed to take that, see that all the way through?
Donald Trump was wrong today. He said this is this generation's Watergate.
Yeah, Watergate in the modern times
yeah.
or something.
He's wrong. Watergate was a cover-up of a failed break-in. This is
the real deal.
This is the real deal. This is the transfer of uranium to a hostile nation. This is really bad. That's not Watergate.
It's really bad. And the media's been barking up the wrong tree with the Trump ties and the Trump collaboration with Russia, and all this whole time it was really the Clintons and the DNC.
Well, you know what's weird?
It's amazing.
We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how the DNC and everybody saw Trump as getting in bed with Russia. Well, that's because they're not seeing the world as it is. They're seeing the way they are. They did it,
right?
So why wouldn't everybody else do it?
Yeah. Are you guys excited, as I am, about the release of the secret JFK files today?
I am.
We're finally going to get to the bottom of Rafael Cruz's involvement in this thing. And I can't wait.
Yeah. He's already in Argentina.
He's already left the country.
He's left the country. Yeah,
we're going to have to track him down because he's scared today.
Yeah, yeah.
They won't say what time that's going to happen, but
I actually, you know, how long have we heard about this?
I know. We have
40 years.
We have a guy who, because there's thousands of papers. There's like 100,000 documents coming out today.
Oh, is it that big?
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
Wow.
But we have a guy who has been researching this forever, knows what to look for, knows the names to look for and everything else.
Really?
He's spending all day. He's going to be on with us tomorrow to tell us what's in there that he could find in 24 hours.
That'll be great. Have you guys noticed the sexual harassment thing continues to grow too? Mark Halperin now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gone at NBC.
It's amazing. He was stepping away for a couple of days and then he's now
a few days.
Yeah, now it's actually, forever days apparently.
Pushing your member against women in the workplace.
Is that good or...
I'm going to say not advisable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
guys, have a safety tip for you.
Can I ask you a question? For or against?
Can I ask you a question? Have we ever known anybody like that in our workplace?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. It sounds like it's everywhere.
Even elsewhere where we've worked someplace else. Maybe it's just that we just don't hang around those kind of guys.
I have to tell you that Sarah just in my ear just said, Jeffy? No. Not in reality.
Jeffy doesn't have a member. He is a member.
Right. That's right.
It is, though. I mean, it seems so rampant in all these different industries.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look, this is obviously has been a problem for a long time, forever.
Yeah, because these allegations come from the mid to late 90s with Halperin, right?
Yeah. And
they're not recent.
And I don't know. No, yeah, most of them are. It was when he was back at, I think, ABC.
He
hasn't been there in a decade. But it's incredible, like, how all these people who have preached against this stuff. I mean, Harvey Weinstein released a documentary about rape culture in colleges. Harvey Weinstein, the Weinstein Company, released a documentary about rape culture.
Wow.
And, do you think he ever watched it?
Do you think he ever did, and I bet he believed every word of it about however horrible everyone else was.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And never applied
and
it
never
in
applied
his own
it to
life.
Himself. Yeah. These guys, they lived in that. I think a lot of these, especially the Hollywood stuff that's coming out, are people who believe their political stances exonerated them from their own activities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they believe because they were saying Hillary Clinton was great. And what do you mean? I gave $1 million to the first female president. I'm not against women. They bought their own freedom out of those situations, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
No.
It's not the way salvation works.
No.
No, you can't buy your way out.
No, I mean, if you pay enough, you can, right?
No.
Really?
You could serve.
Even if you give $1 million?
No, and you could even go start to build rape clinics.
That would do it.
Yeah,
just do one rape, still holding it against you.
Huh. What if you're a bundler for a Democrat?
That's
right? You can do whatever you want.
And you do sophisticated movies on the side.
Okay, no, that's good.
No, it's actually clear. Huh. No.
What if you give Ben Affleck a career? What if you did something like that?
That is the straight gateway chute to hell. That's a laundry chute to hell. You're standing there and all of a sudden they're just like, shove him in the laundry suit, in the laundry chute. Well, that's where we put the angel costumes. I don't even know where it goes. Just shove him in the laundry chute.
Have you guys gotten to serial assaulter George H.W. Bush yet?
Oh, yeah.
And his high crimes.
Yeah, we started there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's frightening.
Have you seen the way he sits in that wheelchair?
Yes. Yeah, he sits at a level where he's right near your butt.
Right.
You think that's by accident?
And his legs.
Yes.
And his legs.
Definitely. Yeah.
And his legs are open. He's doing the, what do they call that? That crime now for men? Spreading?
Oh, man spreading. Yeah.
He's doing that. I mean, he is.
Totally guilty of that.
He's practically Jack the Ripper.
Did you hear what he had to say about it, though? 93 years old, this guy said, that's not an exact quote. It's just I'm paraphrasing.
It's a good impression, though.
But
yeah.
It was sad. The woman said she was sexually assaulted by him.
That seems pathetic.
Sexual assault. He was standing next to you and his wife.
He seemingly did tell a dirty joke. They seemed to kind of have.
Do you know what the dirty joke was?
No. Has that been?
Yeah.
Talked
yeah.
about.
Okay, so
I have not.
So
heard.
Okay, so they're in a lineup.
Yeah.
They're in a lineup.
Okay,
he puts his arm around bar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he's at waist level, so he puts it at her waist. He puts his other arm around the other girl, waist level.
Yep.
Barbara says he tells the same damn joke. You could hear Barbara say this. He tells the same damn stupid joke every time to put people at ease. And what he does is he puts his arms around and then he says, you know who my favorite magician is? David Copperfield.
So who, by the way, does, apparently. Right, yeah. He cops a lot of fields. Okay.
So that's a really bad joke.
Yes, it is.
Okay, and then he patted her, you know, on the hip or on the butt. He patted her, and Barbara looked at her and rolled her eyes and went like, oh, jeez, there he goes again.
And that was sexual assault.
That's sexual assault.
Oh, my gosh, that's pathetic.
Look, it's obviously not appropriate and not something
he should be right, but he's 93.
Like, there was a major lawsuit with Taylor Swift, right, where that was kind of the accusation that he, you know, some guy, but he was in his 30s, right,
yeah,
is patting her on the butt and it's not different. Appropriate. But again, like, what is this line? This Ellen DeGeneres photo, it fascinates me.
Oh, yeah.
Have
you seen this?
No.
It's amazing. She posts this on her own Twitter feed, and it's Katy Perry's birthday, and she's 6 inches away from her boobs, as they usually are with Katy Perry, kind of popping out of her dress, mm-hmm. and she's staring at them, and she says, "Hey, Katy, happy birthday! Bring out the big balloons."
Oh man,
she's got her face literally 4 inches away from her breasts.
Yeah,
I mean, she likes women. Right. I mean, what is the difference?
Why isn't that harassment?
And she's powerful.
Yeah,
she's powerful.
Makes careers.
Ellen could make your career or destroy your career.
Absolutely. Now, is that sexual assault?
No, it's not. Thanks, Pat.
Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio and TV networks. Every day. You should listen to it and watch it.
Well, not every day.
Well, yeah, he's not Saturdays and Sundays. He doesn't usually show up.
So that's not every day now, is it?
No, it's not.
If you are hiring somebody and you want somebody to know the difference, if I say, hey, I want you to come in, you know, this like every day, and yeah, I don't want to have to define every day. So if you're looking for people with quality, don't come and do what I do, because I obviously, you know, mm-hmm. I got a dish lab working with me.
Mm-hmm. I'm bad.
So anyway, if you want to make a quality hire, you actually should do what we do. We hire through ZipRecruiter. You can post your job over 100 of the web's leading job boards. You use one click, and then you just sit back and the right candidate comes to you, because ZipRecruiter doesn't just post it. They have smart matching technology, and it actively goes out and looks for the qualified candidates that should respond or know your job, and then it pulls them and says, hey, do you know about this job? That's why 80% of the employers who post on ZipRecruiter.com get a high-quality candidate through the site in the first day. ZipRecruiter, smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses from Fortune 100 companies to, you know, small companies like mine. Right now, you can post jobs at ZipRecruiter.com, ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Do it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Uranium 101. Tonight, 5 o'clock, only on the Blaze TV. We are going to begin to delve into the uranium scandal. As I said a few minutes ago, Trump is wrong. He says this is Watergate. This isn't Watergate. This is one of the this is one of the biggest scandals, I think, in American history. Quite honestly, this is 20% of our uranium supply being sold to the Russians. And the Clintons knew about it. We're going to cover that. 5 o'clock only on the Blaze TV. Subscribe now.
Glenn Beck.